Thank you. Well, today is the final Sunday of Epiphany. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent. It is Communion Sunday. We are looking forward to that. Well, we've been walking through this sermon series called The Light of the World, Who is Jesus? And through this series, we've met Jesus, the beloved Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, Jesus, the teacher, Jesus, the preacher, and today we end this time with Jesus, the King. Jesus the King. And each one of these titles, each one of these roles that Jesus plays gives us a snapshot into who God really is. Well, do you remember that famous scene from The Wizard of Oz? Wizard of Oz, and there's the curtain, and then there's a little terrier, Toto, and Toto pulls at the curtain and reveals who's behind the curtain. And it turns out that the great and powerful Oz wasn't so great and powerful after all. You remember this scene? And the mighty wizard isn't so mighty. It's a nervous little guy who's pulling levers and smoke and mirrors, right? We remember this. It's the turning point of the story. And in some ways, this is sort of the turning point of the Gospels, the transfiguration. Jesus up on the mountain is that moment in the Gospels that allows the disciples to kind of look behind the curtain and to see what's really, really happening. Matthew's Gospel doesn't exactly present the disciples in the best light. You know, you'd think these guys who have been walking with Jesus now, and they get to this moment, and they'd know exactly what's going on. But that's not the case. The disciples are not the spiritual giants we expect them to be. And the Gospels kind of write this in. They present them in this light for a reason. We expect courage and clarity, and yet the disciples are hitting the dust, right? Down on the knees, right before the Lord. And what do we see? We see Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, everything blazing with glory. Jesus is shining. His clothes are dazzling white. That voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him." And they're flat on their faces. The tension, the real tension in the story is that the disciples, they knew who Jesus was. Just a few chapters earlier, or actually in one chapter, Peter says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Messiah." So Peter knows, and yet still, like Dorothy, when they discover the truth, it's bigger and different than they ever expected. Not less glorious, just not what they expected. Jesus isn't the kind of king that the disciples were expecting. He wasn't the kind of king that they were expecting, and then this made all the difference. Peter names him Messiah, for sure, the long-awaited hope for Israel. They had all of their eggs in this basket. They were banking on the gold medal to come in this direction, and they were surprised when it came in a different direction. Instead, Peter's mind was set on strength. It was set on political freedom, a throne in Jerusalem. And yet we know from the story that it's not quite the throne that they were expecting. But Jesus keeps talking about something else entirely. We're thankful that in the Gospel of Luke, wouldn't you like to have been like a fly on the wall of this conversation? You've got Moses there, you've got Elijah there. Wouldn't you have liked to know exactly what they are talking about? Matthew doesn't tell us, but Luke does. Luke says that they were speaking, so Jesus was speaking to Moses and Elijah and to James and John and Peter about his departure, that he's got to leave, that he is going to Jerusalem, that he is going to the cross. So they know what Jesus was about, and I think that's what they were afraid. This wasn't the winning team that they've been banking on. You know, this isn't, they've been doing all this training, you know, these months of training. It's a short time, actually. But they've been doing, this metaphor is not working out. Jim, help me out here. It's like they've been doing all this training, going for gold, and it just doesn't work out, right? The glory that Jesus shines isn't the glow of military might. It's not the glow that they've been hoping for. It comes down to self-giving love. This is the glory that Jesus is shining. They want a king who fights. And Peter wants to freeze the moment. Finally, the glory's revealed. And it's not quite what he expected. He feels kind of ripped off. Have you ever felt ripped off in your life? I think so. I think we all have. Who doesn't want to be on the winning team? All of us. He just doesn't understand that God's true glory, God's winning nature, just comes in a different way. They don't want to hear about suffering or a cross. They expect a revolution that's going to work out well. Blinding light, heavenly voice, glory they can't control. Nothing about this fits their expectations about who God really is. We're not much different today. Winning is important. Who doesn't want to win? We want to win. It's so much better when you score 3 goals instead of no goals. It's so much better when your team wins than when you don't. We like strength. We like certainty. We like things to work out the way we want. And our culture tells us that when something is good, it must be impressive. It must be quick and fast. And this is the way that the world works. And when it doesn't, something's wrong. So when God doesn't fix everything as quick as we envision, when healing takes a little longer than we expected, when prayers aren't answered the way that we had expected and hoped, we too can be disappointed. We too can be discouraged. Even start to doubt, is God really who God is supposed to be? In real life too, it's harder to slow down and just to, in the dull moments of life, just to keep doing the right thing. It's so much easier to take a shortcut. It's so much easier to do the easy thing that maybe gets you ahead quicker. It's harder not to throw our weight around in our families or at work when you can just push it forward a little faster, right? It's harder to slow down, to be patient, to watch, to pray, to listen for God, especially when it feels like it's a valley and not a mountaintop experience. We've been trained to expect the quick fixes. We can just push a button on our phone and that package comes the next day. Problem solved. It's no surprise that spirituality today is about mountaintops, chasing the next spiritual high, the next sign, the next clear victory. Nobody talks about suffering in spirituality. Nobody talks about patience and a slow burn. Psychologist Jordan Peterson observes that life really isn't about happiness anyway. He says happiness comes and goes. What we're really actually searching for is meaning in life. Something sturdy, so that when the storm of life comes, there's something that we can hang on to, right? That's what we're searching for, meaning in life. Because life is volatile. But when we have something that we can hang on to, we can make it through to the next leg of the journey. We prefer still, like everyone else, a king who wins, a king who removes our pain, who defeats our enemies, keeps us comfortable when life is tough. Not a king who says, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, and you will have to take up your cross and follow me. This is an upside down kingdom. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And you can't blame Peter for wanting to stay on the mountain, to set up monuments and just sit back and say, wow, we did it, guys. This is what we've been waiting for. Life doesn't always work that way. And neither does discipleship, following Jesus. Here's the grace. Before Jesus makes his way to the cross, before the suffering and the betrayal, before everything in life falls apart, there's a gift, a revelation from God, Jesus shining to steady them, to give them meaning, to give them something that they can hold on to and say, yeah, I got to keep going. I'm going to go all the way to the end. Jesus gives them this gift, and it's brighter than Moses. It's greater than Elijah. It's actually the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It's Jesus. And the Father says, listen to him. It's sturdy. You can hold on to it. He's going to hold on to you. Listen to him. Listen to him. Pastor Brian Zahn says, Jesus is what God has to say. And the Father says to us, listen to him. Listen to him. Moses and Elijah, they disappear from the mountain, and it's just him and the disciples left. The vision ends. Everyone else has left the stage. Jesus is left. He's the fulfillment. He's their great successor. Only Jesus says in the scripture, you have heard it said, right? You've heard this, Jesus saying. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. Listen to him. He has authority. He can even change God's word. Who else does that? No other human being does it. But Jesus takes what's written and he changes it. Listen to him. Listen to him. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to him or her. Listen to him. I love this beautiful detail that the sermon or the transfiguration gets to. After this overwhelming experience, the disciples are probably, their heads are spinning. And the text says that Jesus came and he touched them. He came and he touched them. He knew their thoughts. He knew they weren't understanding it. And yet Jesus came and he touched them. A simple human touch. And he says to them, get up. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I love you. We're in this together. The King of the universe, both power and tenderness, is with them. Get up. Don't be afraid. Keep going. I'm with you. And where do we meet this King today in our everyday walking around lives? Not in shiny clouds, but down on the mountain. The King of the universe, Jesus, is the one who reaches out and says, I love you. Go. Your faith has made you well. Don't be afraid. Go and live by faith. Go and live by peace. Go and live around your kitchen table with your children. Go into that hospital room, in that office, around the hockey rinks. God is with you. That's where the real discipleship happens. And the transfiguration reminds us it's not on the mountaintop, but in ordinary walking around lives, that God is present, that God is with us, that God empowers us to be his people. And even when Jesus looks ordinary, the Son of God is shining in your life, in my life. We may not shine, but the King of the universe does. And we hold on to him. We hold on to him. All things will work out. We hold on to him. Keep trusting. Keep loving. Keep persevering. Keep serving faithfully when no one sees it. The King already reigns, not from a throne of gold, but from a cross, shining into a world that desperately needs that hope. And maybe the thing that brings us back to where we started, that curtain in The Wizard of Oz, when it's pulled back, the great and powerful Oz, it's just smoke and mirrors. But on the mountain with Jesus, when the curtain is pulled back, we see his true glory, his true goodness. Not a frightened man, but the radiant Son of God who chooses the way of a cross and says, come, pick up your cross and follow me. This is the way. Listen to him. It's sturdy. It won't let you down. Keep doing what you're called to do. God is not distant. He says, don't be afraid. Keep going. That's a king we can follow. Not just on mountaintops, but in the ordinary, our ordinary walking around lives, day by day, in our faithfulness, hour by hour, and it's God leading us all the way. Amen.